Welcome to Morning Invest. I'm Clayton Morris. This is the show that teaches you how to invest in yourself so you can become financially free. We are live right here every morning, not Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern time. If you're new here, let us know in the chat. Say hello or drop us a comment. Say I'm new, subscribe. We'd love to have you. Coming up on today's show, we've got a lot of Bitcoin news, cryptocurrency news, because I don't know if you know what you were doing paying attention over the weekend or not, but it was a messy weekend for cryptocurrency. Bitcoin sold off billions of dollars, up about 20% of its overall value, 20%. Was a power outage in China to blame? Is the U.S. Treasury ready to step in and actually indict some companies that have been trying to money launder using cryptocurrency? All this news happened this weekend. We'll dive into it. President Biden starts talks today on the next round of stimulus. He's going to be meeting with lawmakers at the White House. It's going to be a very busy few weeks for the Biden administration. So we'll look at what's on his table. And Dogecoin, or some call it Dog E Coin, is it going to hit $1 by tomorrow? The Doge Army is coming. Are you ready for the Doge Army? Plus, coming up on the show, we've got an interview with the CEO of a cannabis company that is not just a cannabis company, is also a beverage company, and they have diversified in a space, and they have a five-year competitive advantage over other companies right now. So we're going to sit down with that CEO to talk about that landscape, about legalization of cannabis, and what this could do for our stimulus revenue and universal basic income revenue, all of that and more on the show today. So Morning Invest starts right now. Hey, good morning, everyone. Let's dive in and look at some of the markets this morning because we had a crazy weekend with Bitcoin. So Bitcoin at 56,000 right now, but boy, was it a mess this weekend. We'll get to that news in just a moment. But Bitcoin up this morning a little bit. So recovering from some weekend lows down to about 54,000. And Ethereum also back up again. That was down. Took every one of these guys, like the top 10 cryptos, like took a massive beating this weekend. Also, let's take a look at gold up nicely this morning as well. And silver prices up as well. And Dogecoin. So let me see. I'm going to switch. I've got a new camera set up here. So I'm now able. I'm hitting buttons like crazy over here. So don't be surprised if I accidentally, you know, I'm just going to like inadvertently take Grover Cam by accident. And you're like, what's going on over here? I'm like, what's, nope, wrong camera. All right, back to my camera. So let's take a look at Dogecoin because tomorrow we could end up seeing some craziness on the Dogecoin front. And it is right now, let me see if I have the wrong, yeah, I do have the wrong camera because I had to reboot my computer here. I can't bring it up here at Dogecoin. Let's see if I can get it. Internet access.
And
I
go
swear.
Crazy in a good way or bad way?
So Dogecoin, just before the show this morning, I bought into it because, and we'll get to more of the news on that in a second, but Dogecoin, a lot of the Doge Army is coming because look, Doge Day is coming, 420. Buy the dip and hold with diamond hands. The past few days was Doge, just testing the rocket boosters before it takes off to the moon. And so what the goal is, $1. Get it to $1 by tomorrow, 420 day. So I bought in this morning around 37 cents, just before the show. It's up to 40, 41. So it's already, it's already taken off. You know, all of the press coverage and people pumping this thing, could be some good short-term profits if you're smart about it and set your stop losses and don't be crazy about this. I'm thinking like I should start my own coin. Like this coin literally started as a meme coin. You know, this thing was like, it started as a joke and now it's got like, it's bigger than some companies for market valuation. I was thinking, David, here's an idea I had. I'm going to start my own Grover coin.
I was just going to recommend Grover that you coin, call it Grover.
Like Grover coin. I mean, look, I think I could probably get this thing up pretty high. Don't you sell Grover coin? I mean,
what do you call it? Where it's in the market, it could be groin.
Groin coin.
Groin is up.
Grover coin.
Yep.
Groin is up. Yeah, my groin is up this morning. How many people buy into this thing? Oh, man. I think, you know, this is the kind of stuff that's happening, though. I mean, this is, there was a lot of crazy news, though, over the weekend about Bitcoin, of course, and Bitcoin price fell as much as 19.5% this weekend. It's the biggest plunge in weeks, and six of the other top cryptocurrencies also fell over 10%, and all of this turmoil resulted in a single-day record of $864,000 in crypto futures, or 864,000 crypto futures being liquidated. 864,000. So what in the world happened? Was it fake news? Was there a power outage? So this happened yesterday, but this happened over the weekend. There was concern that the U.S. Treasury, this tweet was making its rounds. It's amazing how one tweet could set a market on edge. You watch, read this tweet. This is what went around and people thought, is this true? U.S. Treasury to charge several financial institutions for money laundering using cryptocurrencies, according to sources, right? This random tweet.
Not even a verified account.
Sent shockwaves through the market. Yeah, not even a verified account, just a random coin, right? That would, it would be just like if Grover's account just tweeted this out. Like if Grover's coin account just tweeted out some news about the U.S. Treasury. It's like, first of all, how does this random Twitter account get information about the U.S. Treasury Department that's going to charge several financial institutions for money laundering using cryptocurrencies, according to sources? All in caps, by the way. All in caps. So this was scaring a lot of people. But eagle-eyed investors and lawyers are saying, wait a second, this makes no sense. U.S. Treasury doesn't do that. That would be the Department of Justice that would do that. And very often, I mean, it's very, very rare for the, if they're going to do a big dragnet of like trying to take down multiple companies, it's going to be kept under secret, right? It's going to be like Apple level secrecy before this information. So how does some random Twitter account get this information? Okay. Turns out that didn't happen. Apparently this is fake news. So this whole thing was totally fake. But what was real was a power outage. So there was a big power outage in China. Almost half the Bitcoin network went offline, just 48 hours. And even the coin, see, part of the coin network, the whatchamacallit that does like a lot of the coin prices went offline as well. So there was a lot of panic yesterday, a lot of big sell-off. But it was an opportunity for people to jump in and buy. Did any of you buy? Because now it's going back up. See, that's the way these go. So if you get scared and you start dumping your cryptocurrency, that's when people make money, when they get scared. And so,
I almost don't buy on the mine fear. Because I don't know what I'm looking at yet.
Did you?
You know, you haven't taught me. And I was just like, oh no, what's going on? I'm sitting there watching that number. I'm like, no, I'm supposed to be relaxing today. Stop looking at that.
Yeah. Well, look, when we know that, you know, we know that Bitcoin's likely to hit, I mean, experts this morning, I'm looking at some different experts, analysts, saying that this thing could be well over $160,000 in a short amount of time. Remember, it's scarce. People want it. And, you know, I don't see it going down. So you see this Bitcoin dominance comes back. And over the weekend, I don't really do a lot of trading on the weekend because there's a lot of weirdness that happens on the weekend. So I've really taken to just kind of sitting back and taking it easy on the weekend for trading and just letting craziness happen. And we'll see what happens today.
Melody Malone.
Dogecoin is coming.
Melody sent a $5 super chat. Send me a Grover coin. I love it.
So, all right. So going once. Okay. So $5, like that's the, wow. I think we're ahead of Dogecoin now. Grover coin is ahead of Dogecoin.
Because right,
they're trying to get, you know, they're trying to pump Doge. You're buying?
I'm getting
trying in. To get Dogecoin up to a dollar. So, hey, I think we're on to something here. I'm just saying, you know. I'm going to restart that PC because that's giving
yep,
me a
grab your groins today.
Yeah, grab your groin coins. Groin coins are hot. But so let me ask you in the chat, let me know any super chats coming in. Anybody, are you guys going to be picking up any Dogecoin? Look, like I told you last week, I made about close to $6,000 in a few minutes on Dogecoin because I bought in and rode that little wave and I stop lost myself out to protect myself.
Living Live says Dogecoin is 40 cents. I bought in at 3 cents a coin. I'm up 545% profit to the moon.
Boom. Let's bring that up for Grover Coin. Let's see if we can do it. I mean, that's 1-4. But this is a cautionary tale, folks. When you see these types of tweets, when you see this type of, you know, kind of garbage, like you just got to ask, you know, use your brain, okay? This stuff pumps. People try to manipulate the markets all the time. It happens on, you know, people go on CNBC. It happens. I mean, it's, you know, it's been going on for a long time. So this shouldn't come as a surprise. When you see like tweets like this and this, and, you know, moves the market, or Elon Musk gets up there and tweets about Dogecoin and, you know, Dogecoin takes off and explodes, you know, this is going to pump. But I'm giving you an option right now. Like, this is going to pump today. Like, I'm telling you, it's already going up today because of all of this press coverage that you're seeing on this. And there's a lot of fear of missing out. So people are going to jump into this and drive this price up today. So just be careful. If you buy in, set your stop losses, make some nice profits on this. It's only 40 cents right now. So even just play around with it, you know, put $10 in, try it if you want, just try to, and that's how you kind of learn. You learn to set some stop losses, make a short, you know, small profit in a short amount of time. They're trying to push this thing up to a dollar.
That's actually a really cool graphic too.
Some of these. I know that is, isn't it? It's like the storm coming.
Yeah, that's really neat.
You know, they were trading at 33 cents and it might not like seem like a massive surge, but when, you know, when you move 5 cents and it was stuck at 33 all through March and then it just moves and moves and suddenly now, you know, it's going to push up to 60 or 70 or 80, you know, on its birthday. They're calling it a big holiday tomorrow. So we will see.
Anger,
right,
Mr.
Let's
Swords.
Talk stimulus now. Get ready for
$5 super chat. Oh, yeah, asked if we could put good morning, Grover, Clayton Grover, Natalie and David. Can you put the Grover coin on a T-shirt?
I love that idea. We'll clean it up and we'll make a
we'll make it look like an actual coin.
Grover. Yeah. Grover coin. Grover coin. Buy the dips. That's a good idea. Buy the dips. That's what we do around here.
Alicia's asking another Dogecoin question. I have my finger on the trigger for investing this morning. Doge is one and also BVNNF. Do I select for a day or three now? Several options.
Well, I can't give you trading advice on how long to stay in something. All I can tell you is what I do, right? Because it's everyone's risk tolerance is different. So it'd be wrong for me to tell you to do one thing or the other. But if I'm buying in Dogecoin, which I just did before the show, I bought in at 38 or so, 37 roughly in that range. Sorry, what's going on over here? I'm setting, you know, I'm watching it, keep my eye on it, but I'm going to set a stop loss just below the most recent support level, right? So if it dipped, you know, around 35 or 36 a little while ago, then I'm making sure I'm blocking out there and stopping there. So again, with this BVNNF, to me, that's a long-term hold. Like, I'm holding that for a long time. That's Bevcana. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. That's a long-term hold for me. Dogecoin is not like a long-term hold. Dogecoin is like, focus on it. Let's watch those 15-minute charts and try
it's
to
like
make
a
some
GameStop
on that. Exactly, exactly, exactly. All right. Any other super chats on Doge this morning?
Well, just Carol, since you're on investing, Clayton, what do you think of DMLRY, the Mercedes-Benz stock?
I don't know enough about it. Again, we'll talk a little Shanghai Auto Show a little bit later today, because I think one of the smart plays right now is in EV cars. And I think Ford is a good play. I'm invested in Ford, and I think we're going to hear from the CEO of Ford today on what they're doing right now at the Shanghai Auto Show on their electric vehicles, and also Tesla and some other things. So I don't know what Mercedes is doing. I haven't been following them, so I can't give you any insight into that.
And Lonnie M. is grabbing Doge and Grover Coin today. Big smiley. Awesome. So now that's it. You can continue.
All right. All right. Well, let me see if I can take this shot now. Let's see if this will work. Yeah. Okay. Here we go. This will work. All right. Good. So look at this. I mean, this is what the Federal Reserve is seeing, folks, like right outside of their offices now, like Tent City. I mean, look at this. Tent City, people living in tents near the Federal Reserve. Like, this is America. This is America. This is what we're dealing with. This guy has a pet lizard. In an encampment, This is what people are doing, living near the Federal Reserve. Think we don't have problems? So get ready this week. The Biden administration is about to deal with major infrastructure talks start today. A major COVID and vaccine update speech from President Joe Biden on Wednesday, and then we'll also have a two-day climate summit starting on Earth Day this Thursday. That's when the Biden administration is going to announce their America's 2030 emissions target, which could have major business implications. So again, this is an investing show, but it's also a progressive news show where we really try to move the bar, you know, ethically moving companies in the right direction towards climate, you know, clean energy, right? Where they're actually taking care of workers, labor, unions. And so this week, we're going to see a major climate initiative from President Biden on emissions. And I think all of this gets wrapped up in stimulus and infrastructure and everything. Because next week, President Biden is going to address Congress. And the next Thursday marks his 100th day in office. And somewhere along the way, he's expected to roll out that American Families Plan, which is the next phase of this stimulus package, which it could have another $2 trillion in spending and massive tax changes for individuals. Today at 1:15, the president is going to meet with a group of lawmakers. And this group in the Oval Office, he's going to be meeting with his jobs and infrastructure package. These sessions, these meetings were really a hot ticket. And certain members of Congress got to go in and meet with them, and then certain didn't. The Biden meetings are really like the big prize right now. And there's been some griping from some Senate offices this morning, according to sources. So here's the invitation list. You have Senator John Hickenlooper from Colorado, Angus King from Maine, Jeanne Shaheen from New Hampshire, Emmanuel Cleaver from Missouri, Charlie Crist from Florida, Norma Torres from California. And then on the GOP side, Mitt Romney, John Hoeven, Carlos Jimenez, and Gay Granger. And it's interesting that Hickenlooper, King, and Shaheen are part of this group. They're part of the G20 group. But, you know, it's interesting, I think, at the heart of this is Mitt Romney, because Jen Psaki this week said that as far as the White House is concerned, the forthcoming G10 proposal is the next step in this process. What we're waiting for, she said, on this infrastructure plan is Republicans in Congress, a counter proposal from Republicans in Congress. But my big question is, who's going to pay for this? And that, to me, is at the heart of this entire negotiation. Forget about what bridge is going to be fixed up, what children, what community are going to get early childhood education, what families are going to get, child tax credits, et cetera, all of those things. It doesn't matter. Who's going to pay for this? So President Biden wants corporations to pay for it, and Republicans want you to pay for it. And so I got to say, that's why I'm skeptical that we're going to see any kind of a bipartisan plan. I mean, let me know in the chat if you think that these two groups are going to somehow come together and have a bipartisan infrastructure bill. Mitt Romney is supposed to be, I mean, he's on this list. He's meeting with the president. The reason this is interesting is he's one of the people setting up to provide a counter proposal. And it's likely to be in the $800 billion range as opposed to $2.9 trillion or $2.3 trillion. So I just think that that's going to be a non-starter.
No cinema and Manchin, the two that he would really need to talk into it?
No, but according to reports this morning, they're not happy that they weren't invited. You know,
it's like, why are you inviting the people that are going to back it anyway? Why don't you invite the people that aren't going to back it and try to talk them into why they need to? That's why it's all Kabuki Theater, or whatever it's called, Kabuki Theater.
It's Kabuki.
Kabuki. That's all it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, here's the thing. At least on the Republican side, I don't think they're going to back it at all. Like, that, maybe that is why they're bringing these people in. But you're right on, like, the John Hickenlooper, Angus King. Like, they're on board with this, you know? But the Republicans at the bottom of this page, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see where they go on this.
I mean, Mitt Romney's been
kind of... Here's a new poll out this morning.
Kind of doing some surprising things lately. So, you know, he's one, but that could possibly be talked into it.
Yeah, but he's been talking about we'll see where his price tag comes in. I think he's been talking like $800 billion. So that's not going to cut the cheese. Actually, maybe it will cut the cheese, but it won't cut the loaf.
I guess I just mean he's at least willing to have the conversation. Like, most Republicans don't even want to have that conversation.
pass the snuff test. What is it? We know what cutting the cheese is, but what's like if something doesn't pass the smell test?
Smell test, yeah.
Morning Invest, your show for getting to the bottom of idioms and metaphors. Pass the cheese test. So pass the cheese test. So this new Quinnipiac poll out this morning shows that 44% of voters support Biden's $2 trillion infrastructure plan. So they're on the right side of this with American voters. And get this, in this poll, I thought this was interesting. When told that it would be funded by raising taxes on corporations, that number rose 9 percentage points to 53%. So people are like, yeah, we like this idea of the infrastructure. And then when they're thrown in the question as to how it will be paid for by taxing these corporations that pay nothing in taxes, the people are like, oh, yeah, now I really am into this. Now I'm really into this thing. Let me know your thoughts on that in the chat. And, you know, look, you see how much money right now is in the economy. This, you know, stimulus works, it turns out. Wow, it's shocking, I know. People are saving. Here's the headline this morning, the FT. People are saving.
Yep, well.
A lot.
There you go. You guys start saving. They're not going to send you any more money. Knock it off.
Exactly. Look at this. I mean, globally, savers $5.4 trillion of stockpiled money right now. This is working. Consumers around the world have stockpiled an extra $5.4 trillion of savings since the coronavirus pandemic began and are increasingly becoming confident about the global economic outlook, paving the way for a strong rebound in spending as businesses reopen. Oh, wow. Shocking, I know. I mean, households around the globe accumulated excess, defined as the national savings average, compared with 2019. And equated to more than 6% of global gross domestic product by the end of the first quarter of this year, according to estimates by credit rating agency Moody's. And booming global consumer confidence suggests shoppers will be willing to spend again as soon as shops, bars, and restaurants reopen when restrictions to control the spread of the virus are eased in the first quarter of the year. That's amazing. That's not shocking at all. I mean, not surprised by this. Here's how this... what they're saying about this. If consumers spend about a third of their excess savings, they would boost global output by just over 2 percentage points, both this year and next. Wow. Imagine people have money, they spend it, they actually put it into the economy, well, businesses stay reopened.
And the thing is, like, even everybody that's saving, if they weren't worried where that they were going to lose their job during a pandemic, or they weren't going to get any kind of stimulus during a pandemic, they'd be more apt to not be saving that money anyway. So it's like the only reason people are saving is because they're scared of what could potentially happen.
Right. And they know that they can't really rely on the government, right? So they're sitting there saying, well, we're going to put this money away right now because God knows what happens again. We go through another pandemic. The government doesn't support us, doesn't send us any kind of a stimulus check. You know, there is growing support this morning for a recurring stimulus check. And that we're going to see over the next week or so. You know, where does a Bernie Sanders come down on this? Is he going to continue to push on this? There's a number of senators, a number of members of the House of Representatives that are calling on the president for a universal basic income, some sort of a floor until we get out of this pandemic. Bernie Sanders also not giving up on going after these big businesses. He sees, obviously, as part of this big environmental move right now, infrastructure is to cap carbon emissions, get these companies to start thinking of the future of this world, of this earth, as we see global greenhouse gas emissions just exploding. So here is Bernie Sanders speaking during business hearing, just going after these businesses on climate. Listen.
The debate is over. The scientific community has spoken in a virtually unanimous voice. Climate change is real. It is caused by human activity and is already causing devastating damage to our country and throughout the world. The scientists have told us that we as a global community have less than a decade, fewer than 10 years, to act boldly to transform our energy system away from fossil fuels and into energy efficiency and sustainable energies, or our entire planet will face irreparable harm.
Yeah, and just read Naomi Klein's book about the timetables on this. They were giving us about 15 years. Like, we have like a point of no return in about 15 years. And most of the climate policies put forward by different governments have like a 30-year window. Like, they just don't understand math, right? 15 years is like the point of no return for warming. And a lot of these policies are pushed out double that amount of time. So there's an ambitious plan by President Biden to hit these emission standards by 2030. And he's going to announce that later this week. But there's a lot of questions I have about this, because where are we going to go in between? Like, we want to hit these 100% carbon neutral status by 2030. But how do we measure at 50%, 60%, 80%, right? Is it just from here to 100%? Like, where are the measures in between? So it's going to be interesting. President Biden has a very, very busy week on his hands. We'll be watching closely those talks today on infrastructure and the next round of stimulus. We'll be watching what he says about climate. Of course, then not to mention the fact that there's increasing pressure on President Biden this morning over another round of some sort of gun control legislation. As another horrible night of violence in the United States that just goes, you know, continues unabated. And so he's got a busy plate. He's got a lot on his plate. He's got a busy plate. He's got a busy plate on his hands. Again, don't come to us for idioms. We've got more to get to this morning on the show. We've got a lot more to get to on the show. We're going to stick around because we've got an interview with the CEO of a cannabis company in Canada that's doing some amazing things. And their stock right now is below a dollar and has huge upside potential. So I want you to take a look at them. We're going to interview him in just a moment. Marcello will be here. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Public. So you've got to check these guys out. It's one of my new favorite stock trading apps. And what's so great about it is that it's not just for investing. It's really a social media platform. You got to come over and follow me over there. So what you do is you sign up, you can get a free slice of a stock, and they have a social component that allows you to follow different people. So you can follow me over there. I'm at Clayton Morris. And what's cool is you can see like this person posts a stock trade, and then you can see what trades I'm making. It makes it super really simple to invest. And I love it because it really gives you the opportunity to learn about the market. People are posting really interesting thought pieces and articles, and you can follow different people that you respect in the space. Also, you don't have to buy a full stock. Like, if you don't want to buy a full Apple stock, you can buy shares of your favorite investments. So you can buy a share of Netflix. You could buy a share of Tesla, a fraction of their overall stock. It allows you to buy in. Really great. And I want you to follow me over there. Just go to public.com today and /morning. Follow me on Public and see what I'm investing in. You can start investing today with as little as $1. You'll even get a free slice of stock. That's right. Download the Public app. Go to public.com/morning and you'll get a free stock, free slice of a stock. And send me a message when you're over there. I'm on that platform. I love it.
I'm on there too, and I'm following you.
News articles and things here. Yeah, follow David too. He's over there.
No, yeah. I said I'm following you.
But it's a really cool platform. Oh, okay. Yeah. Follow me. Follow me.
Yeah. Follow Clayton. And then maybe that's an app that you could teach me to use to do some of the, you know, so people can see what I'm investing in based on your recommendations.
Exactly. Exactly. So download and check it out today. Just go to public.com/morning. To get your free slice of stock. Well, it's no secret the Biden administration has a ton of policies right now that require trillions of dollars. Raising taxes is something we've been talking about. Will they raise taxes on corporations? But would that make America less competitive in the world stage? They're getting certain pushback, obviously, from Republicans. But there's one thing that we've been talking about here on the show that needs to happen, and it's one area where both Republicans and Democrats could probably have bipartisan support, and that's the idea of legalizing cannabis. That would make a ton of tax revenue and get plenty of programs paid for as a result. Our next guest is going to blow you away in what this company is doing. Marcello Leone is the CEO of Bevcana Enterprises, and I think you're going to be blown away about what they are doing in the cannabis space, the water space, innovating in so many different ways. Marcello, welcome to the show, my friend. Did I get my Italian right, Leone?
You got it perfectly. Thank you so much.
Good to see you, my friend. You know, David
nice
and I joke.
Nice to see you, my friend.
David and I joke here on the show all the time about, you know, he's drinking decaf in the morning. I'm having my coffee in the morning, but I see you cracking open this
I'm
beverage.
I'm having my
here.
Plant-based beverage, my plant-based trace beverage.
So explain this. Okay, so what's in this? And we're all talking like all natural. We're not, sure. You know, no chemicals, all natural and helping us helping us with our health, most importantly. So we're not drinking some sugar-filled beverage in the morning. Tell us about this.
Sure. Yeah, please. You know, this is trace plant-based minerals with fulvic and humic minerals. Amazing proprietary formulation that we developed several years ago, and it took us about 6 years to get Health Canada compliance. And we are the leader in the world for CPG space for plant-based minerals of this beverage. And it's quite amazing what the beverage does for you, Clayton. When I was first introduced to the product almost 9 years ago, it really changed my health. And here are some of the benefits that over the years that we were working with Health Canada to get compliance. One, it acts as a very strong natural immune booster. Two, it acts as a very strong natural gut clean. And three, acts as a very strong natural, helps prevent cognitive degeneration and acts as a very interesting helps reduce osteoporosis. And I give you an example of what happened to me. 9 years ago, I used to get walking pneumonia a couple of times a year, and I used to get my runner's knee come on every other day. And when I was introduced to this product, after 6 months of utilizing the product, I saw the benefits to my body and the way I was feeling. And I ended up purchasing the company 9 years ago and leading in the space to try to get this product out to everybody in the world because of the benefits of what this product does. And so today, Trace, which I've cracked open for you, Trace is in over 3,000 points of distribution in Canada and getting ready this fiscal year. We're going to be launching in the United States and in the Southeast Asia as well. So that's that. I hope that answers you. Better than the coffee first thing in the morning, Clayton.
Well, I was going to say, I'm jealous now. I gotta get me some of that here. I'll drink it here on the show in the morning to wake me up.
Yeah, you're gonna get a case, Clayton, so you guys can pop or cracker open on the show.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. So let's talk about, you know, you mentioned something there at the beginning, 6 years. Did you say 6 years it took you to get through the regulation process in Canada?
That was just a regulation process for, this is not even cannabis infused, because these non-infused products that you see over here, this is an example of one of our house brands in our infused space for cannabis. Bevcana has 42,000 square feet operation, recently acquired Naturo Group, which we founded almost 9 years ago. And so Bevcana has a beautiful positioning to generate revenue in the plant-based space and natural alkaline space water, as you see these products, and nutraceuticals that we develop as well, and vitamins and capsules that you'll see launching in the next quarter. And you will also have the ability for our own in-house white label CBD and THC products and the two options for this company, which is very rare. We're the only company in Canada that has that ability to be separately licensed.
Wow.
Separate operation at the 42,000 square feet in Osoyoos, British Columbia, which is like the Napa Valley of California for the best grow of grapes and where our natural alkaline spring water source is as well, untouched by man. So everything is pure, everything is natural, and it's pretty exciting, Clayton. And so that on the plant-based CPG side took us 6 years to get compliance, and on the Health Canada side for standard processing license for your cannabis, that took about 2.5 years as well. So compliance is very, very, anytime you're drinking and ingesting or you have a food product, And then you're in the cannabis space, so you've got federal legalization. It is heavy compliance, Clayton, heavy.
Yeah, so this is one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on here. We've got a lot of viewers who are looking to invest, want the long-term investment play. And that's why I told our viewers this week, I said I'm really bullish on Bevcanna and your company because no one else can even come close to what you guys are doing. And as now these governments are starting to move into the space of legalizing cannabis, the United States is way behind Canada on this, but they're inching closer. And we are just, as you mentioned, we are just at the very beginning of this entire process. So let's talk a little bit about the legalization process. Should the United States, I mean, I think I know where you're going to come down on this, but should the United States move forward with full legalization of cannabis? And would that just open up the tax revenue floodgates for the United States?
Yeah, you know, I think you know my position on this. I think that if we've legalized alcohol many, many decades ago, and we've legalized tobacco smoking, we need to legalize federally, globally, all over the world, cannabis. And it's just a matter of time. We have not even hit first base. We were in Canada with Bevcanna, and for our Canadian counterparts in Canada, we were the first G7 country in the world for full federal legalization. The rest of the world is going to catch up. We're seeing states in the United States, more and more states for recreation, medicinal. It has to come. They have to take that tax revenue. They've got to get that product easy access, because from the cannabis plant, whether you're using the cannabis CBD, the derivative of CBD that everybody would like to utilize for physiological benefits for their bodies, for their health benefits, it has to happen. So we're big advocates. The Biden administration said they were going to do it. And we got to be pushing that globally, that there is easy trade like the alcohol industry or like the tobacco industry. And that's going to come. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah, I believe it's a matter of time. And you guys are years ahead, light years ahead of other companies that would want to do this. And so if I have a, let's say I have a beverage that I've come up with and I want to try to bring it to market, and you have 6 years of just trying to get the compliance done. You've created a white labeling process. So instead of me having to go through all of the regulation, I could come to Bevcanna. You guys could produce it for me. Now I'm paying you to go through that process. So now that's just one piece of revenue you have. Can you talk about some of the other legs of your stool at Bevcanna and why it's a compelling investment?
Sure, absolutely. And so, in front of me, I have just giving you two of the four compelling revenue streams that we have. One, CPG, natural distribution without any infusion of cannabis. Our alkaline water, which we sell across all of Canada, and our plant-based beverages, which we sell all across Canada. These two products, and especially the plant-based trace product, the demand for an interest in this product is quite exciting. So we're getting ready to launch these products into the United States and Southeast Asia. These are existing revenue models that Bevcanna acquired, Natural Group, so they have already an existing customer base getting ready for more rapid growth and have revenue. That's one. And what's beautiful also about this is our brand, Trace, that we own as well, Trace. But we do white label opportunities for a number of clients across Canada as well in the United States. White label. They want to buy water. They want to do value packs for their brands. We offer that opportunity for white label clients. And then, secondly, we own and have secured our license, and one of only a few licenses, that barrier to entry to have a balance sheet and the number of assets like Bevcanna owns today after acquiring Natural Group. They boast a fairly strong balance sheet of about 55 million worth of assets. They own their own aquifer. They own the state-of-the-art bottling facility. They can produce up to 200 million units per annum. They have secured and went for their license for cannabis. That took 2.5 years just for that license, Clayton. So now they can, Bevcanna has their own brand, Anarchist Mountain. They have their own brand. But everybody wants to get into the beverage space. All the companies that are in the United States that are going to come into Canada, etc. People want to do beverages. Very hard to go out and secure your own aquifer. Very hard to own your own bottling facility and to get a compliance. Barrier to entry, very expensive. So the beautiful thing with us is we come from the entrepreneurial spirit. So we're here to help the small entrepreneur and the multinationals. And that's a beautiful thing as well. So our business, our doors open for business for people that would like to have a great idea, but need help. And so we offer a full opportunity that they can come to us and they can get plastic, RFET, if they wish like to have. Would they like cans? We offer that form factor as well. Would they like glass? We offer that form factor. So we offer form factors so that they can plug and play. They can supply their labels to us. They can supply their formulation to us. We can do everything in a one-stop shop for them. And they do not have to worry about any infrastructure costs whatsoever. So that's a beautiful advantage as well. So that's white label and our own brand. So those are two opportunities. And then, Clayton, we also, as we mentioned earlier, we also own a direct-to-consumer site in the United States called Pure Therapy, puretherapy.com, where we also offer a listing of all our natural products, nutraceuticals, and CBD-infused products from hemp that we are selling today in the United States. And we acquired that company, Bevcana did, last year. We did $5 million in revenue last year. This year, we're going to do about $7 million Canadian on that revenue model alone for our direct-to-consumer site, puretherapy.com. And then the fourth revenue generator, we partnered with a really great company in the United States, really wonderful company in the US out of Colorado called Keith Beverages, the number one beverage brand in all of the United States by units sold and volume dollars sold last year. Also, they boast 8 of the top 10 brands in Colorado and 2 of the top 10 brands in California. We own the rights for Keith Beverages for all of Canada. We manufacture and distribute all of their products for Canada. So if you are ever in Canada and you pick up a Keith beverage at a dispensary, that comes all through Bevcana. The beautiful relationship that we have is that as we're ready to launch our CBD and THC infused products into the United States, we have a complimentary rollout of over 1,200 points of dispensaries with Keith. Wow. That we're able to distribute our products nicely in a friendly manner and open distribution. These are just another great partnership to direct revenue, et cetera. So those are 4 very critical revenue points, and therefore it doesn't make you one-dimensional as a company. So the beautiful part with Bevcana is it's innovative health and wellness, plant-based and cannabis, and 4 different points of distributions and 4 different points of revenue streams, and that's critical.
Wow. So if people are sitting there saying, okay, well, if am I going to invest in this company, that is a powerful play right there with these 4 different revenue streams. You mentioned another thing kind of quietly there, but you mentioned this aquifer, and I'll get you out of here on this question, which is this aquifer. Sure. The other day here on the show, we talked about Vice President Kamala Harris. She mentioned offhandedly when she was giving a speech, she said, you know, oil is not going to be the future wars. Wars will not be fought over oil in the future. It'll be water. And you now own this aquifer through this acquisition, so you're able to produce this alkaline water. But how important is it for you to control that well, that aquifer, as we move, you know, we're going through climate change and everything else?
Yeah, I mean, you know, 8-9 years ago when we acquired the company, it was critical for us to, you know, that consideration on the aquifer almost a decade ago was very much when we were thinking, what is it going to look like in 10 years from now? That was 10, almost 9 years ago. What's it going to look like in 10 and 20 and 30 years? And I think you hit it on the nail, the nail on the head. Global warming, climate change, the world is changing. The amount of water that we have access to is much less than it was 10 years ago. So for us, it was critical to secure that source because we thought that it was going to become a commodity that was going to become more important than oil. And yes, we believe that. We just saw recently in Canada, Clayton, how did it change here in Canada? I think when people think about Canada in the world, they think clean, beautiful water, cold, maybe, you know, Canada, fresh. 2.5 years ago, there's a moratorium in Canada. You can't come out here and try and drill and create your own aquifer and go into the land and try and create your own well. There's a moratorium from that drilling for letting people come in to take those resources. So therefore, if you wish to be in the beverage or in the water business, or you need the water, you have to go and secure a relationship with an existing producer and someone who actually has it today. You are not allowed today to go out and simply drill into that natural resource. So it's changed tremendously. I would concur with you, a very scarce resource. And we have to see what happens in the next 10 to 20 years. We pray that it doesn't become such a resource that people have no water, because we need water. So right. We're just pleased that we have a beautiful source, and we do everything that we can to assist our communities all over the world, whatever we can do.
Well, it's a beautiful thing what you guys are doing. And, you know, if I was going to try to create a company like this, I'd much rather just partner with you and try to go through all of the legworks, the, you know, 10 years of regulations to try to get where you guys are. So I think this is why I wanted to have you on the show today. We've been talking about cannabis here and through our research to see where it, you know, is a company that's leading and light years ahead of other companies right now as the United States starts to open up. So, Marcello, it's been great having you here on the show. I cannot wait to try the beverages, and that'll be my wake-up every day here on the show. Thank you so much for coming in.
Blessings. Thank you so much, Clayton. Appreciate you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
So thanks to Marcello. Yeah, check him out. What do you think, David? Would you be in on, like, instead of, you know, your decaf in the morning, what do you think?
Oh, totally.
Try some of that.
Totally.
Yeah.
I'd totally be on board. And you know what? I figured out who he looks like. I was like, I have seen that guy before. He looks like Harvey Levin, the founder of TMZ.
He does, but that's not him.
No.
No, this Marcello is, in my mind, a way better entrepreneur and a brilliant, brilliant guy.
Yeah, so, he seems like a really nice guy.
Yeah. So thanks for coming on and checking them out. That now having your own aquifer is a pretty powerful play. So
well,
thanks
and like,
to Marcello for that.
Like Kamala said, you know, that's going to be the next thing is going to be water.
Yeah. If we don't get our act together, that's going to be where wars will fraud over is water. Absolutely right about that. And one area right now is the Shanghai Auto Show. So I want to take you out to Shanghai, where a number of these automakers right now are rolling out their brand new electric vehicles this morning, one of which is Ford. So I've been bullish on Ford for a while, as you know, if anyone who watched the show. And, it's interesting to see all of these automakers now going all in on electric. And I think it's exciting. I mean, look, some of the very first cars ever made in the world were electric. You know, Woodrow Wilson's favorite car was an electric car. Did you know that? And it's like, then we forget. We're like, oh, we don't have the technology. We can't figure out the first cars in the world were electric. And we just like buried them because of fossil fuel companies and all of that. And so now we have an opportunity, I think, really to be transformative.
Have you seen that documentary, Who Killed the Electric Car?
Oh, I love that one. That was from the early 2000s, I think. And it showed, was it the Chevy Volt? No, it was called the... it was from Chevy though, wasn't it? It was like the EV. I don't know. They made a car. They made an electric car, and
the EV1, right?
Basically, EV1? The EV1, and all of these like Hollywood types ended up buying it. And then what happened? You want to sum it up?
Yeah. So the auto manufacturers like got together and they didn't like how efficient they were and stuff. So they bought them back. Would not let people extend their leases, would not let people buy them. They took all these cars, these perfectly working cars, and just buried them in these places like, back parking lots and all this stuff, and then just destroyed them. Went and collected them all and just destroyed these perfectly working cars and took them off the market.
Yeah, they ground them up into like a fine mist, like dust. They just showed up at people's houses and they're like, we're buying them back from you. And they're just taking them right out of their driveway. And now I don't think there's any of them that exist anymore.
No, you had celebrities that were willing to pay. Like they were like, I want to keep my car. Like, but they went because they did not sell them. They only leased them. And so you could not keep it. So they went and impounded every single one of them.
I think it was the California legislature that it actually had voted so that the audit, it, anyway, voted to allow this to happen. And then they pulled back their vote. Like the California legislature chickened out, was the ultimate story on this.
Well, and that's
so the auto manufacturers.
It shows you where the power is. Yeah, where the power really is, mm-hmm. is these corporations. You can completely sway legislation just by, you know, paying a lot of money. Like all of these people are like, oh, we can't touch this now. The car manufacturers are going to come after us, and they're going to pull out their donations and our campaign funding and stuff. So we can't do that. But there were people there were people literally at the courthouse and stuff willing to go to jail. I think people were even arrested fighting that decision to find out where these cars were.
Oh, yeah. They were dragged. Absolutely. And there was a whole, where did they went in some field somewhere. It was into a big dump in the middle of California. So that's good. That's good for the earth. Precious metals just ground up. Way to go. So now, finally, they're getting on board. Here's Ford out at the Shanghai Auto Show talking about their move into electric vehicles and how they believe they are positioned to take over the market.
Ford has been around for 118 years, and the industry is going through a pivot now. And we feel that we are going to be as relevant in the future as we have been in the past.
There was some interesting things that unfolded there. One of which was an unhappy Tesla owner ended up climbing up on top of a Tesla. Let's see if I can take this. And she's yelling, brakes fail, brakes fail. So she's hopped on top of the Tesla cars there making a scene, yelling that her brakes fail, brakes fail, brakes fail over and over and over again. They're like, hey, what do we do about this? We've never had anyone standing on a Tesla car right now.
She's wearing a Tesla shirt, by the way. I think the people that are around there are probably like, oh, she's probably just a representative.
Yeah, don't put your cameras down. We don't want this coverage right now. Put your
I think we lost you, Clayton. Yep, I think we lost Clayton. I'm going to cut to me really quick. Oh, where am I at? I'm not even on here. There I am. Boom. I don't know where Clayton went. So maybe he'll come back. Let me try reconnecting to him really quick. Nope, nothing. He was having internet issues, so maybe he just disappeared. I think they're on to him. But the thing is, like, now he's covering more financial stuff, so I don't know. Maybe it's not. Maybe we shouldn't be as worried as we used to be. Tesla got him. Yeah, it's like, don't show that footage. We don't want that shown. Take that video down. Tay Flint, $10 super chat. Thank you. Hello, Clayton and David. Off subject, what brand of t-shirt do you use for your MI t-shirts? Sorry, hold on a second. Excuse me. Assuming they're cotton. Love, love, love the show. I would assume they're cotton, but we don't, like, there's different kinds we can choose from. I'm not sure which ones those are, but I'm assuming they're probably cotton. Are you allergic to cotton or something or need another material? Because I think there are other materials in there, so. Christina Ellis, ever since his move, his internet is wonky. It hasn't really been that bad for the past couple weeks. So, and that wasn't a sneeze. Thank you. That was a cough. But no, his internet has been actually really good. The problem was so we do this interview system that we have, and the one that we used for a while was kind of corrupted, and that was the problem. So we refreshed that connection, and it hasn't been too bad for the past couple few weeks. So, but you know, we're going to have those days. I mean, I had a day, last week, my power completely went off. So I had no power at the house, so I couldn't do anything. And it was like pitch black outside, but street lights were off and everything. So I couldn't join the show, and I run everything from here. So, you know, Clayton had to jump on and build the show from scratch and, get that out to you guys without the countdown timer and stuff. So it happens. Electric cars, not priced for the average person. You know what, Valletta? I just got a Toyota RAV4, and I feel like it they are starting to be priced better because I got the hybrid. Now, it's not fully electric, but you know, I'm getting 37 miles to the gallon in that car. Now, that's not as good as like a Tesla or something like that. So I would agree. But like $30,000 or so, you can get a lower end Tesla. So it's, they are coming down. And it's like the more people that invest in that, the lower those will go. It's just like anything else. The more people buy into something, the lower the price will go. So, you know, I got the Toyota Hybrid because I was driving a Jeep Renegade, and I was like, I don't want to go fully electric because there's sometimes when I like to drive like down to California, or whenever I travel, if I can, I just got used to driving because I always took my Chihuahua with me. So I didn't want to take her on a plane because I didn't know how she would, you know, react on a plane. So I was always, driving. So I didn't want to use an electric car because I almost got a Tesla when I got my last car until I saw what the payment would be. But anyway, but I didn't want to know that I knew the infrastructure wasn't solid enough to, you know, keep me charged all the way. So I've seen several Teslas on the side of the road dead from people trying to you know, go further than the battery will allow them to go. So I just decided I'm not ready for fully electric yet. I don't think the infrastructure is there yet for fully electric, unless you're somebody who never travels. Like if you ever travel, you fly or you drive a gas powered car. But you know, for me, being somebody who likes to drive, I just couldn't go full. So I did the hybrid because, like I said, I'm getting 37 miles to the gallon, where I was getting probably 20, 23 on my Jeep Renegade, which is still a small car, four cylinders. So, Valletta, thanks, David. You're welcome. Peace and blessings. Oh, Kate just sent me a text message. Yes, we are. I'm going to send you a message. Yes, we're all still alive here. We're just wondering what the hell happened to you. Everybody thinks that you got taken down for talking about the Tesla story. Did you lose internet or what? What, anything you guys want me to say to Clayton really quick, let me know and I'll say it. Just let me know in the chat what you would like me to say to Clayton, and I will say it to him right now. First person to tell me, message to Clayton, I will send it. Ready, go. Let's hear it. I need some music for this. That's true, David. Good point. Electric infrastructure not done yet. Exactly. And that's the only reason I didn't go. Lost internet. Okay, you lost internet. Let's see. Okay, we have people saying to say hi. And people want to know, what color is your Speedo today? When's Grover Coins going to launch? People want pet photos. People want you to toke up. And Tay Flint needs to buy t-shirts in bulk, and we're supposed to tell you to smile. It could be worse. Ask him if he got my email about my husband's GoFundMe. And did you get, Kathleen's email about GoFundMe? And Diana said music is loud, but it's Bossa Nova. So can Bossa Nova music really be loud? You know what I mean? Okay. I just sent him those messages. So that's something, you guys, all of you guys that are like, oh, I would really love to invest. I would really love to make money or all that stuff. I'm somebody who has never done it. I just invested in Bitcoin a while back because somebody's like, hey, you should invest in Bitcoin. I wish I would have done it in 2012 when I was told to. I didn't, because I'm too scared. I've never had extra money to where I'm like, you know what? I could take this chunk of money and I could risk it enough to lose it. Right? But I can't afford to risk to lose money. So Clayton is going to show me how to invest, because he's a really good investor. He invests in real estate and stuff like that. He's going to show me how to do it. And we're going to do it, and we're going to shoot it and record it so that you guys can see what I'm doing. And that's what he was talking about, like doing that in public so you can see what he's investing in. And then we'll see what he's telling me to invest in over there. And that's the sponsor. I guess I can go ahead and show that again. That is the sponsor, Public. So go download the app, public.com/morning. And so he's going to be helping me learn how to invest. And so you guys will learn, because I'm somebody that doesn't understand any of the language. I don't understand stop losses. I don't understand any of that stuff. So that way we can be educated together, because I understand the importance of investing and getting away from the US dollar, because it's not getting any better. So, okay, he sent a message. Let's see what he said.
Yeah, I don't know. My internet went out and I was just in the middle of talking and it just went bye-bye. So I am checking on it right now to find out what the heck is going on. It's a good thing I pay so much money for a really high-quality internet that's not working.
So, yeah, so he's lost internet, but...
Yes, it looks like my router was red, which means my entire network was down. So I am rebooting it. I should be back momentarily, I hope.
All right, so we'll see if he comes back. But who would be interested in that? Anyone who would be interested in that? We're thinking about doing it as like a workshop kind of thing. And Your Imperial Majesty, slow down, David. I can't slow down. So, you know, when things happen and I have to like jump in, I'm kind of like, it's kind of like you have your pilot, your airplane pilot, and you're just sitting there and you're just kind of like on autopilot and you're just doing your thing, right? You're pushing buttons and you're doing this stuff. And then all of a sudden, something happens and the plane like loses control. You have to jump up and you need to like figure out what's going on, and take over and make it and fix it, right? So that's what I had to do. So it's kind of funny. I didn't even have my camera on. So I had to turn my camera on. I had to turn on my lights because I usually sit here in the dark. I don't even turn my lights on most of the time. So yeah. Katie, hi David, I'm VIP. How do I gain access to Clayton? What site? As a VIP, you actually don't get access to Clayton. You just get to chat in the comments. It's really hard to give people access to Clayton because you guys got to understand Clayton is he's kind of a celebrity, quote unquote celebrity. I say that because, you know, he comes from Fox News. He gets so many emails, so many people reaching out to him, so many people asking for his time, so many people asking for stuff. And that's why, you know, we try to get you as much access as we possibly can. But if you, I mean, okay, so look at this. I am not a celebrity at all like Clayton. I'm nowhere, you know, even close. I'm a YouTuber. I just make YouTube videos. You know, I don't come from that world. And this is how many emails I have. You see my emails down there? That's how many emails I have to go through. And that's a month. That's just a month right there. So think about Clayton's. His probably would say 40, 50,000 or something like that. Like he gets so many emails and so many people pulling him from all these different directions. So he really does try. He really does try to comment to you guys, to give you guys access as much as he can. And that's why we love the members only stuff, because that makes it easier for us to pay attention to you guys as much as we can. And so even so, that still flies by. And that's why we started doing the super chats and stuff, because then it's an easy way for us to keep it all, you know, over there. It helps support the channel and we can see everything. So let me try refreshing this and see if he's back yet. So where's the ticker? This ticker? That ticker right there? 50,000 emails is too many. It is. And that's why, like, when you guys are like, and I get it, you guys are sending your pet photos and we wish we could, I really do wish we could show every single pet, because those pet pictures are awesome. We love animals. Like Clayton and I are both dog people. David, calm down. You're racing. No, I'm not racing. You should, if you ever watch me live, this is me. This is just who I am. This is why I drink decaf coffee. You're seeing exactly why I don't drink caffeine. If I drink caffeine, boom, I'm just like, I'm like a rocket. So I'm totally, this is just who I am. But yeah. Well, I won't be emailing anyone anytime soon. But what I was saying is, it's impossible for us to get to all the pet photos because he gets a lot of them. And so he has a team member that actually takes those in and then she puts them in a folder and we get to as many as we can. So, you know, it's hard sometimes. Don't apologize being you. Oh, I know. I do a podcast called Unapologetically Me. I don't apologize for being who I am. I'm just saying, this is just who I am right here. You're getting it. I talk fast. I'm quick-witted. I sent pet photos about 8 times before mine was on, Lisa Pettit saying. Yeah, I mean, it can take, you can sometimes have to do that. Please do the workshop thing. I am in the same boat as David. We will. We will work on that. Because I think that's important. Like I said, I don't have money to just toss into something and think, okay, I could lose this. Like every dollar I put in, I could lose this. I can't do that.
So there's some kind of issue with our main internet service provider, and they must be doing some work on it or something, because apparently the box coming to our house is having issues. So I'm rebooting it, hoping that this will work one last time. If it doesn't, then I don't know what to do.
Well, if it doesn't, I think I'm going to be the one ending the show. How's that sound?
It looks like we're back up.
Okay.
Natalie is sitting at the desk. She's at the news desk.
Natalie, do I have you? There it is. The news desk is back. But we're talking to Chair. It's Chair. Hi, Chair. And nothing, David, about that mission that you guys are on. I'm quite sure you guys get paid very well for all the bothering the people. Actually, Mark, it's okay, but no, it's not. You guys, it costs a lot of money to run this YouTube channel. Like, the high... I'll tell you what, it's more than $15,000 a month to run this YouTube channel. Just so you know, that's the cost. So the sponsors and your super chats and your memberships offset that a bit, but we're not in the green yet. So we're nowhere near being in the green for running the channel, just so you know. Hey, welcome back. Look, everybody, it's Clayton Morris.
I told my wife to come sit up here, but she just didn't want to. No. She's like, what can I do to help? She said, should I go jump in? I was like, yeah, go sit up. And I came up there, and she's not here. Sorry about that, everyone.
Technology.
The box from the street. Yeah, something their internet service providers were doing, working on or whatever. But it reset our box. I heard some crews out there working a little earlier ago.
Maybe that's what the doorbell was for earlier.
Who knows? I love that this work needs to be done during my show. You find any other, like, they don't do it all, you know, like, it's just that 1 hour of the day. Can we just please find another time to do this kind of stuff?
You should go put a sign on the main box and say, please do not touch between these times.
Yeah. Like, look, I mean, how am I going to get, you know, Grover Coin to take off if I can't do the show?
Right.
You know? Think about it. How's this going to happen?
Go out there and tell them, you know, you understand that you guys are really delaying the launch of my groin?
My groin was... It's supposed to grow. It's not going to. Oh man,
Mark. Yes,
show you the
Mark Phillips. You have that. You have that problem. Internet can be a problem no matter where you live. You guys know anybody who has internet. You know that it can be in and out sometimes. Like, it's just something that happens. There's nothing you can do about it. I have Comcast installing. It's cost me $1,000 to get it installed, and then it's going to cost me $300 a month for 2 gigabits up and down. I still can have problems like this. The United States infrastructure for internet is not solid. So, you know.
Yeah. That's right. So take a look at this. I did want to show you this. So at the auto show. So check this out. This is the new Segway.
Oh, no way.
Motorcycle.
That is not real.
It's real. And it's going to be on sale within the year.
Are you serious?
The new Tron from Segway. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm telling you, like, we featured it in the newsletter this morning. If there's one thing that I, you know, would want out of this auto show, would be this. Like, I don't even ride motorcycles, but.
Yeah, I got to show you my starting graphic for my show. Let me show you this.
Oh, I know. It has a Tron. Let me see.
Yeah, this right here is the starting graphic for my show.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
That looks exactly like it.
Yeah. I want that bike.
See, now you have to get it. You have to buy this.
I'm going to get it.
You've got to buy this thing.
Wow.
You have no choice now. All electric from Segway. It's like, what has Segway been working on? Well, here you go.
That is a Segway.
I've been wondering, you know. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Is that, and it's all electric.
So cool. Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
My gosh. If it has a trail like of light are. Behind it when you're riding it, I'm like, I'll pay double for that.
The only thing is you got to have an awesome outfit on top of it. You know, like you can't.
Oh, yeah.
You can't wear like.
No. You're writing like a tank top and shorts and flip flops on that thing.
That's probably what I would do. Like, oh, I forgot to change today into my cool Tron outfit. So I'm just wearing jeans and a t-shirt.
Is there a price tag on that thing yet?
I don't think we have a price tag. Yeah. I don't know how much. I didn't see the price. I don't know we have a price yet. But whatever it is, get in line for it.
Yep, Clayton, you and I need to ride that somewhere side by side, just like... Listen to Daft Punk in our helmet.
I think my wife texted me on this. Oh, it's only 10K.
You're kidding me.
It's going to be 10,000.
Are you serious?
Yeah, 10K.
Did they take Bitcoin?
I just spent that much this morning on Dogecoin. I'm going to buy it with my Dogecoin profits. That's
you know what you need to do? You need to buy it, and then you need to park it behind you on the set there so that people can see it.
That would be cool.
And then when you're ready, just ride it down the steps and ride it out the door.
But no, I'll be like the dork, and instead of getting the Segway motorcycle, I'll get like the Segway ones that the mall cops use, and I'll just, you know...
Hey, if it had those glowing lights, I'd still take it. I wonder if you're going to see as many people wrecking that thing as they did the Segways.
Yeah, to me, the Segway, that was such a cool idea. Like, I really wish that would have... I mean, I guess it never really took off in the way... Do you remember Drudge Report? I'll never forget. Drudge Report broke the story about the Segway. And the story was that this was going to revolutionize transportation. And it was going to be like one of those, like, we're making an airplane, an automobile, a train for the very first time. Wait until you see what's about to roll out. And then it was the Segway. That was supposed to be the most amazing vehicle ever. If you think about it, it was like these gyroscopes are keeping it standing upright. So you stand on this thing and it, like, the gyroscopes, like, kept it totally upright, which is mind-blowing to me. It was so dorky, and who's going to use it? Other than... Amazon employees or mall cops, you know, or Disney employees. I don't know.
Did you ever meet Noel Lee from Monster?
No,
no. So the guy that owns Monster Cable, Monster Products, he was like anywhere he went, he was on a Segway. Like, and he had like things on, like designs on it and stuff, like these decorations. And he was wearing like it was just the funniest thing to see him come in, because he'd have this entourage and he'd be on a Segway and they'd be like walking around him like it was just kind of funny.
I remember when I was in Dayton, Ohio, the Segway had just launched, and I went and did a story, and we were trying to find someone that had this thing that I could go, you know, do the show with and feature it. So I found an older couple that lived in Dayton, Ohio. They bought one. And I went and I interviewed them, and I did a segment with them where, like, I ended up racing the grandfather, like, down the street on a Segway years ago. It was so much fun. So I was one of the first few people to get a chance to ride one of these things, because this old couple in Dayton, Ohio, was kind enough to allow this young reporter to come do the story on them many, many moons ago, whenever that thing came out. So, yeah, the Tron motorcycle.
Dean Thomas is saying the top speed of 150 kilometers per hour, acceleration from 0 to 100 in only 4 seconds. But I don't know what kilometers it. What is that in miles per hour?
I think it goes 0 to 60 in 4 seconds.
Wow.
And I think it has a top speed of 92 miles an hour. I think we wrote this morning in the newsletter. I think that's what it is.
Man.
So there you go.
All right. You want to do some super chats?
Yeah, I got one more thing to do real quick, which is this. I'm going to tell you about our show sponsor, our friends over at Blue Chew. So Blue Chew asks this question: are these tablets right for you? And what's amazing about this is delivered right to your front door. It's a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form at a fraction of the cost. And look, Blue Chew said, you know what? We love your show. Thank you for supporting us here as independent journalists here at Morning Invest. They took care of us, and they are a big supporter of our show. So thanks to Blue Chew. Blue Chew is an online prescription service. So no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward, you know, conversations and waiting in line at the pharmacy. It ships right to your door in a discreet package. And the process is simple. You sign up at BlueChew.com. You consult with one of their licensed medical professionals. And I hear David typing away over there right now because he is signing up for Blue Chew as we speak. If you don't like swallowing pills, no problem here. Blue Chew's their tablets are chewable, and they're made in the United States. They prepare and ship direct. It's cheaper than the pharmacy. So if you could benefit from the extra confidence when it's time to perform on your Tron bike, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. So try Blue Chew for free when you use our promo code INVEST at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code INVEST to receive your first month for free. We thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the show and supporting independent journalism here and helping men everywhere. Some confidence. We appreciate it.
Do you ever see that Saturday Night Live skit with about Viagra? So imagine my head. I'm like this, and it's just a lady, and she's like doing like this, and it's just showing her, and she's like, "Thanks, Viagra."
Yeah. See, Mother's Day is coming up. Mother's Day is coming up. Give her this for Mother's Day.
Yeah. Get some Blue Chew and some Groin Coin.
Although my wife this Mother's Day said, you know what? For this Mother's Day, I just want to go away from the entire family. I just want to. I've been quarantined with the kids for 3 months. I just want to go away for a day to a spa. Like, you got it. Go for it. Go for it. Get out of town.
I get it, though. All right, we got Evening Sky Woodlands Wildness Super Chat. Thank you. We've got Carl Felix, Jason Litch. New members, welcome. Okay, I got an email from Weeble, Joe Ruiz, about Dogecoin. Is it coming to Weeble? Yes, so somebody in the chat said that she's in a beta group and that they actually are testing it. It should be rolling out to everybody soon in the Weeble app.
So I am a member of their beta group. And yes, I am happy to report that Dogecoin will be trading on Weeble very, very soon.
And does crypto, does Bitcoin trade on there?
Yes, Bitcoin does as well. So some of the big ones right now. So, I mean, Doge is moving up in the world.
So is Weeble, I mean, is that a pretty good, like, so what's the difference between Weeble and Public?
Well, they're different exchanges, okay? So they're different, and that's this thing, like I use Binance for crypto. I use Weeble. I've bought Bitcoin on Weeble. I'll be buying Doge on Weeble as well. I use Binance for crypto. I use E-Trade for buying some of these over OTC stocks like Bevcana as an example, because it's not on one of the big exchanges. So there's no shame in having like multiples of these apps. So I use Weeble for a lot of my trading, and I use Public for a lot of my trading. And the reason I love Public is because it has this social media component to it. And I use Weeble because it's a really powerful, big platform. So you kind of get, I don't know, the best of both worlds. Plus, when you sign up for any of these platforms, they end up giving you free stock on top of it if you use our link. So, you know, there's just differences. Like, for instance, Coinbase, which just went public last week, only has a few coins to choose from when you're investing from crypto on Coinbase. But Binance has just a ton of alternative coins and everything you could really want. That's why I use Binance for my big coin purchases. So
we also have, Maria Linder Siling is asking, what are the best apps for stocks besides Weeble?
Well, again, if you want some of the bigger exchanges like E-Trade, like I featured a stock today on the show on this Bevcana stock, which is the symbol is BVNNF, Bevcana. And the only way to buy that is on one of these bigger exchanges like TD Ameritrade or E-Trade or Fidelity. And then they charge you per trade. They charge you a commission per trade, right? So if you buy, but only at that time. So if you buy 500 shares, they're just, you're going to pay your one trading fee, which is like, I don't know, $7 or something. Webull and Robinhood, those are commission-free exchanges. But they basically kind of, they make their money in different ways. And so they'll basically work with different, I don't exactly know how they make money exactly. It relies on, they get access to your data while you're sharing information about your trades. They're able to share that information more broadly with exchanges and so forth. So that's how they're able to get free trades. So you don't pay commissions on it. So there's a lot of different choices out there. I mean, it just really, to me, it's about like personal preference. I am not a fan of Robinhood after what we saw them do with the GameStop scenario. So I do not use Robinhood. I use Webull and I use Public. Those are the two that I use. And then I use E-Trade also for some of these OTC stocks as well. So I use three to trade stocks.
Brian Price, why is NY not able to trade crypto? Every other state can, but I can buy crypto on PayPal. I don't get it. I tried on Webull and Binance. So New York, why is New York not able to trade?
I don't think that that's accurate at all.
Could it be because the stock exchange is actually there and they're like, no, you're not trading this here?
No. You, New York not able to trade crypto? No. That's not right. I mean, heck, one of my friends, Anthony Pompliano, who's a guest of the show, and he's one of the geniuses around Bitcoin. He lives in Manhattan. So I don't know what. The only thing I'm seeing is New York banning Tether over false statements about the U.S. dollar. Why is it so hard to buy cryptocurrency in New York State? They can't use Binance US. They can't use BlockFi. You're right. There are some New York Attorney's General's office over the past few months had shut down some different trading platforms in New York. Have you tried KuCoin? KuCoin. Try that one, Brian. It was Brian, right?
Yes.
What about and also try Coinbase? That's the big one. You know, they just went public on the New York Stock Exchange or on NASDAQ. So I can't imagine that they're not available for selling. So try Coinbase, try KuCoin and see if you have any luck with that. But yeah, Binance US is not available. But the Binance that I use is the international version. And I use that with a VPN. So maybe you should try that one. Set up a VPN, set it for London as your VPN source, and use the international version of Binance, which is what I use. Just go to morninginvest.com/Binance to get that link. That's the one that I use.
Then we got Chaser, Maria and six kids, and Susan Paulsik, new members. Welcome. And then I answered Tay Flint's question, but she's looking to buy the t-shirts from the store in bulk. So do you know it? I don't think because of the way that the t-shirts are sold through a third party, we can't really do bulk discounts, but they may be able to. So you'd have to reach out to their support and ask them. And generally there's a support, I believe there's a support thing on the Teespring website, if I'm not mistaken, but it's, I'm not sure, but we're not in control of that. So you'd have to reach out directly to them.
Yeah. If you go to morninginvest.com/store and then look for I think there's probably a support question on there that you can ask them that.
Yeah.
I had, you know, people wanted to buy my book in bulk too, the book that Natalie and I wrote on how to pay off your mortgage in 5 years. And unfortunately, because it's through Amazon, you know, they weren't able to do that. But it's just the way the cookie crumbles, I guess.
Harold, wow. Hi, Henry Linares, new member. Juan E, super chat, thank you. Amy Perkins, so what are they saying about stimulus? What does Biden want to do? Does he want UBI? And that will also answer James Figueroa's question.
We don't know. He has not publicly said anything on this American Families Plan yet, which is the $2 trillion package, which would be in addition to this infrastructure package. So again, he's meeting with lawmakers today, Republicans and Democrats. I know that he's been hearing and fielding phone calls from the likes of Bernie Sanders and others, a number of members of the Senate that want him to fully go in on the student loan forgiveness piece. They want him to go in on another round of stimulus checks, and some want recurring stimulus checks until we're out of this pandemic. Folks, across the board, Wall Street has been happy with this stimulus. And the amount of money that America has saved as a result of it is going to lead to, could lead to an economic boom with the amount of people, amount of money that people are about to spend. And so, you know, like think about it too, not just from an economic perspective, like what you and your family are going through, but think about it as an investment too. Like, where do you have your money and things? When people have been locked up for like a year and a half and they're ready to go, you know, keeping your eye on airline stocks, like seeing what's going to happen on United Airlines. You know, hotels, look at all that money. Households have saved a lot more since the start of the pandemic. The United States sitting on that cash, and they're going to hit the road. Americans are going to want to go out to eat, right? Go to restaurants, go to the mall. And so some of this stuff is going to come roaring back. And if I think there's appetite, you know, there's certainly appetite from Wall Street for more stimulus because it's a direct correlation to business growth right now. We're seeing it in the data from February and March. And it's being reflected in these earnings numbers that we've been seeing over this past week and this week. There's a bunch of big earnings numbers coming out today. Coca-Cola had earnings today. They're up. And that's clearly a reflection of people going back to restaurants, going to McDonald's, going to places and buying Coca-Cola products. Not only in America, but even internationally, Coke is doing really well. So that's what you're starting to see, like an opening, a reopening. And the amount of money that's been pumped into the system has helped businesses and it's helped Americans. So I there's very little argument other than how are we going to pay for it right now, which is an important piece of this that needs to be answered. That's the heart of all of this right now.
Tashira Smith got $12,000 tax and stimulus. It's gone now, spent on four kids and husband at Amazon. That concludes all the Super Chats.
That'll do it to you. Amazon, right?
Yeah,
that's for sure. Well, thank you everyone for joining us today on the show. I hope you enjoyed the interview. If you missed the interview that we did with the CEO of Bevcana, go back and check that out. We had a lot of good news and information at the beginning of the show. Thank you so much for sticking around, joining us every day live here on the show. We're always here Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern time. Grab our free daily newsletter, which is right here. Go to morninginvest.com to grab the newsletter, and we will see you bright and early first thing in the morning. I'm going to go work on Grover Coin. See if I can get this worked on.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, we're going to make that look really cool.